Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we have you covered. Joining Sports Daily Live, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel.
And welcome back, everybody. Hour number two, and we are glad to be joined by Dan Israel, because, Dan, we have spent now a large part of 2 days with the sky falling at left tackle while the Chiefs are 9-0 and block a field goal to win another game. Let's start with the good. I can't remember, maybe you can, a team anywhere at any point that in a 9-0 start has won more close games in like the wackiest ways than the Chiefs have this year. It's been wild.
It has. And you know, these one pointers. I do remember the season with Herm Edwards that we went 2-14. We lost, I think it was six games by a combined total of 8 points. That was crazy. But we're picking the other side of that this time. And I don't know, guys. You can't flip a coin and have it land on heads nine times in a row. It just can't. There's got to be some skill to this somewhere.
You know, what's funny, Dan, is watching the fourth quarter of the game, and I'm sure that, you know, you guys in the booth were feeling the same way. You have just the what seemed like a big-time mental error from Harrison Butker, and then all of a sudden you have a blocked field goal. So it was like Dave Tobe, I'm sure, had just a swing of emotions in the matter of, what, 15 minutes or so from what Butker did to the way that they blocked the field goal to win the game.
Yeah, I talked to Tobe after the game, and basically he said, 3,599 seconds wasn't enough. We needed 3,600 seconds. I said, yes, you did. But I don't know if they were trying, Tommy, to do, you know, to force a return there. And that's what, because Butker's kickoff just was not Butker. And so they've been kicking that thing through the end zone for the past, what, six games. I don't know what changed there, whether it was truly just a mental, you know, mistake on Butker's part, whether the field played some of that, because the field was pretty beat up after hosting KU the night before and the physicality that was taking place in our game. But I think it's amazing to watch these guys, how when one guy makes a mistake, they go over, pat him on the back and say, I got your back. And we're going to come out and we're going to fix this. And Leo Chenault did just that.
All right. So there's the good. Let's get to the bad. Dan, to me, Kingsley Suamataia is unplayable right now. It's as bad to my untrained, you know, offensive line scouting eye as I've ever seen. Every single play, they can't run him out there anymore. And if Wanya Morris is hurt, like, can they? Am I overreacting to that? Because like their offense can't operate. Mahomes is in danger and he's not even close. And that, you know, I know the Broncos have a good pass rush in totality, but that's not one of these elite edge rushers we're talking about here on Sunday.
No, I agree. And I think you saw the team agree with that when Wanya came back in late in the game, you know. It's disappointing because Kingsley was supposed to be, you know, ready to go. And anytime you have a high draft pick like that, you expect him to at least get some playing time on the field. And here, you know, you have an injury. He comes in. Granted, he wasn't part of the first half of that game, so he's coming in cold, but that's the role. And you got to be prepared, and you got to be studied, and you got to be ready. And there were a couple times where he just flat got beat. That little kick step that tackles do to get out and make sure you're taking your guy out. You can take him deep, but you got to take him away from the quarterback. That was not happening. And so, yeah, it's disappointing. And I think, you know, Wanye's injury aside, I mean, it was fortunate he was able to come back in the game, but you got to have something. You got to be ready to go there. And then, you know, I felt like to some degree, Taylor on the other side was struggling too. So, yeah, I would suspect that as coach is preparing his plays on his whiteboard and in the beautiful mind fashion that he does that, I would suspect he's trying to figure out how to move Mahomes around a little bit in the pocket to help those guys, because either that or you're going to have to put a tight end out there to help block. And one or the other, because Kingsley struggled and Wanya wasn't exactly having his best game before he got injured.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I've thought about this a lot, Dan, and we talked about this in the first hour that, you know, I actually, and I don't know how much grace you give him. I give Kingsley some grace here because, yeah, he is a high draft pick. But also, I'm sure that there's probably a developmental process that in an ideal situation, you'd be easing him in maybe. And maybe I'm wrong on that. But, you know, he definitely was thrown out there as the starter in the first couple of weeks. Very quickly, I think everybody realized he's not ready in that role. And then just by necessity, he has to be put in there. And then on top of it, too, like you mentioned, Wanya Morris wasn't having his best game. And I think that maybe he gets a little bit of the benefit because he's playing in front of somebody who's played so poorly. Yeah. It's not like Wanya has been doing great either. So I cut Kingsley a little bit of slack just because of that. And I do understand that thought of like, hey, we drafted you high. You got to be ready to go. I just wish they maybe would have given him a little bit more time to develop along before just throwing him into that role.
Well, I think that's what they'd like as well. But you nailed the two schools of thought, right? Which is one, neither Kingsley or Wanya have had a huge number of starts. I think Wanya's maybe had his 9 or 10 starts in the National Football League. That's not a lot of experience. Not when you're going up against guys like, you know, if you go back to Will Shields and in the days of John Ault and those guys, 10 starts, they were not good in their first 10 games. And so to that one school of thought, you have to give in and say, look, it's just going to take time, and that's all there is to it. But then there's the other school of thought, which is this is the National Football League, and you got to arrive on schedule, man. You know, you don't get to pick your time how quick you can learn. You got to learn as quick as humanly possible, and you got to go out there and perform at a high level every time, all the time. And while that's probably, to be honest with you guys, a waning work ethic in the National Football League, it's a waning work ethic right in humanity right now. This is just where we're at with these generations where people are striving for work-life balance. The National Football League is no different than that.
It's not. Here's the lens, though. I think, Dan, we have to look at everything. I know the Chiefs are 9-0. It's a fantastic story. And yes, 17-0 is in play. But for me, and I think for the Chiefs and everybody else, it's all about winning a third Super Bowl. If Kingsley Suamataia had to start a game in the playoffs, I don't know that I would say the Chiefs are going to win that game against an elite NFL team, against a good NFL team in a postseason environment. Like what we saw on Sunday against the Broncos, no offense to the Broncos. You can't, like, that's not going to work in the postseason. So I would ask you this then. What can they do? Who else is on the roster? Who else is on the practice squad? We know Juwan Taylor's not moving from the right side, even though he's being paid like a left tackle. Is Donovan Smith really an option? He's just sitting there. They can't make a trade anymore. Players aren't going to clear waivers if they're cut to make it all the way to the Chiefs. So who, I guess, can they turn to try to do anything to create more depth there?
Well, I think it'll be, to some degree, the play calling and the play design, because you're right. There's nothing they can do. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we saw that in Super Bowl 55 where, you know, without tackles, Mahomes is scrambling for his life, and we don't want that again. And again, you know, you said it, Jacob, we go into the playoffs, we're not going to be playing 5-5 Denver Bronco teams. We're not going to be playing 500 ball teams. You're going to be playing really good football teams that most likely have at least one edge rusher, if not two. And so I think that the kind of goal number one has to be for Andy Heck to get these guys ready by January. I just think that you're going to see them push and push and push to learn, to get better, to get physically stronger. And then I think they'll augment that with some play design to say, hey, look, we're going to give you a little bit of help, but we're not going to come in there and do your job for you. I mean, we're not going to leave, you know, Travis Kelce on the line blocking so that you don't have to. I don't think you'll see that, but I do think you might see some more tight end chipping, you know, tackle eligibles and those type of plays. But ultimately, it comes down to they have to learn and get better. They have to get physically stronger and mentally more mature with that position. And again, to Tommy's point, they don't have a lot of starts here. But this is the state of what we're at. And the one thing we've seen out of these Chiefs is they figure out a way to make it work. And so I kind of just have to rely on the trust of Coach Heck, which is Andy Heck is a great offensive line coach. I don't think he gets near enough credit. I mean, he is working with, you know, as Potter's Clay goes, he's not working with elite guys here that are taken in the top 10 picks of the draft. He's working with what we can get down at that bottom of that round of the first round or the second round. And so I really think that he's a great coach. And I think that it's just going to take a little more time, but you know, time runs out. The clock runs out end of December. This is all there is to it.
Dan, what'd you make of the couple of passes from Mahomes that he missed that could have ended up being extremely crucial had the Chiefs not won that game? The one to Xavier Worthy that he led him too far and the pass went out of bounds, and then the one where he sailed it too high to Travis Kelce in the fourth quarter over his head in the back of the end zone.
Well, nobody has admitted this, and this is completely 100% my observation of Patrick Mahomes in the locker room after the game. But I felt like he looked like he wasn't feeling well. His eyes were a little droopy, and I just wonder if he wasn't battling something. Not trying to give him excuses because he didn't take that. The team hasn't taken that. But I just, when I looked at him, he didn't quite look like the normally bubbly Patrick Mahomes. So I think that could have been in play. I think also he's struggling to figure out how to get DeAndre Hopkins and Kelce both the ball here. And it's just going to take some time for him to kind of learn how Hopkins is going to play, like he knows how Kelsey's going to play. He and Kelce are on the same page most of the time because they've been around each other for so long. That doesn't exist yet with DeAndre Hopkins. And so I feel like it's a little bit of that. The ball he threw, I think, in the back of the end zone that was high, he said floated on him a little bit. His feet weren't set there. And I don't know that he could have gotten his feet set there, but Kelce took credit or took blame, saying, you know, I didn't have my feet under me, or I could have gone up and gotten the ball for Pat. But I just felt like I felt like he was a little impatient. Mahomes, I'm speaking of, was a little impatient throwing the ball. And when you do that, it tends to be a little bit more zip on it because you're trying to rush everything. And that was my take on it. And look, could that be because of the discussion we just had at left tackle? Yeah, absolutely.
So here's my prediction for you, Dan. If they don't do anything, if they don't bring anybody else in, they've run the ball a lot, but Pacheco's coming back pretty soon. Like, I think we may see the Chiefs run it 30, 35 times a game. I don't know that's the other answer, because they have the best, while they have bad tackle play, they have the best interior line in football, and they're about to have two horses back there that can run it. I mean, you can do that too, but the problem with that thought is the Broncos created the rush without a blitz. And yeah, so that doesn't really help you there, does it? Like, that's the only problem there. But I mean, is their defense still playing good enough, do you think, to be able to play that brand of football? It's not been quite as strong as it was early in the year, but is that a solution to just run the ball 35, 40 times a game?
I think it is, but I'd start with this comment, which is, I believe that the Denver Broncos were just playing faster and more physical than we were. And it took us two quarters to kind of come up to speed on that. And then we're making all kinds of adjustments at halftime and still trying to get the energy up. So I think it was a mistake on the Chiefs' part by not being physically ready to get hit in the mouth. And so they got knocked to the mat, and it felt weird for a minute. Now, having said all that, I fully believe that Coach Reed, when we get Pacheco back, there's going to be plays where on the right side of Mahomes is going to be Kareem Hunt, and on the left side of Mahomes is going to be Isaiah Pacheco. That's going to be a dangerous thing, man. I don't know how you defend something like that when both those guys can catch, because Hunt can go to the flat. He could run up the middle. I mean,
block an edge rusher. He can't. I mean, absolutely. He's as big as they are.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be exciting, but I do think, look, the running game works, man. Just do the old Nebraska 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I think it's hard, actually. You talk about the return of Pacheco. It would be hard to replace Kareem Hunt right now. He is such a hot hand. And if there's anything I learned from 1997, the Rich Gannon, Elvis Gerback days, stick with the one who's getting it done. And I know what that says for Isaiah Pacheco. I feel bad for that. But guys lose their starting roles in the National Football League all the time to injury. And this is just one of those situations where I'd love to see them both on the field, but you got to go with Kareem Hunt, and you got to go with the run game. The run game is working for the most part. The run game is working. In fact, some of the drive stalls were because we were trying to get cute, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, it's not just Pacheco, who sounds like he's pretty close to being back. Andy Reid said yesterday that Juju Smith-Schuster is close to returning. Yeah. Charles Aminihue also on the defensive side, Dan, really outside of George Karloftis, the Chiefs' own pass rush really has been largely ineffective, again, outside of Karloftis. Bringing in Aminihue, and if he's fully healthy, being able to have him in that lineup, you know, should, I would think, at least on paper, improve the pass rush for Kansas City. I know that they traded for Josh Uche as well. Where do you stand on sort of getting all of the horses back and ready to go with that pass rush defensively for Kansas City?
Yeah, I think that offensively, you know, Mahomes has really just had to adjust almost to a different personnel group every single game. Maybe he's had two. The last 2 weeks have been the most consistent that it's been. But I think as these guys start to recover from injury, there's going to be a lot of opportunity left. You know, Uche, Omina, getting back Mike Dana was huge. And so I feel like, you know, when Aminihue comes back, you've got basically four edge rushers that you can spell, because one of the things you see in the locker room after the game is, look, this was a huge last 1 second on the clock win, exciting drama. Guys were going crazy in the locker room. You had about half of them sitting on their bench, on their stool in front of their locker, just trying to catch their breath. That's how exhausted they were. So I think getting some of this talent back not only gives you back the ability to spell guys, but also every guy does it a little different, right? Uche doesn't rush the edge like Aminihue. Karloftis doesn't rush the edge like Uche. So I think it's going to be kind of a 1-2 punch for opponents who play the Chiefs' defenses. These guys get healthy. And again, the more solid the linebacker play, the more you really what, because look at the, I would say remaining is the Ravens still scare me, right? How are you going to stop the Ravens? You've got to be built to stop them if you're going to go deep in the playoffs. And so to me, the only way you're going to do that is to have good, solid run stop and a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
And the other team to watch is the Bills, of course, and that's who they play this week. Well, they're vulnerable at tackle. So this probably is a good, you know, precursor, a good idea of what a playoff game might look like. I want to ask you another question, Dan, and we can go back to the block kick sort of for this one. The 2022 Chiefs draft class, it's got to be considered, if not the best, one of. Take Sky Moore out of it, but you're talking about McDuffie, Karloftis, Cook, Chennault, Isaiah Pacheco was in that class. Nazi Johnson was in that class. Josh Williams was in that class. That's an unbelievable draft when you look at the contributions that those players are making right now.
Yeah, it's
got to be.
The fact that we know their names, and the reason we know their names
that
is
many of them, right?
Yeah, they're getting play called. It's been phenomenal to watch these guys, and I think that puts pressure too, like on, you know, Kingsley Suamatia and even Wanye and, you know, guys coming in to learn quickly, because we've had so many guys. I mean, McDuffie's been playing great since he hit the field, you know? I mean, and you could say that about half the names, if not all the names. Leo Chenal, obviously, he doesn't get the start necessarily. You can't count him as a starting guy, but he's getting enough play. And look, he's the guy that made the blocks in the Super Bowl to really keep the Chiefs in the game. So these guys are contributing at a very high level. You can make an argument that without Leo Chenal, we might not have won last year's Super Bowl.
Certainly
wouldn't have on Sunday. So you're right. I think it's amazing the job Veach has done. And I know we give him credit all the time for it, but it's not just acquiring the talent. I think the scouting department does a great job at determining who is good talent and who isn't. But then you've got to develop that talent, and that relies on the position coaches, that relies on the flow of communication from the head, which is Andy Reid, on down, and the Chiefs are just so very good at it. And that really, that kind of is what makes this tackle situation stand out, right?
Yep. That's why I bring that up. Like, for all the heat the Chiefs will take for how many resources they've tried to expend at left tackle and wide receiver, they have, like, they get everything else right to a degree that's not fair, I think, sometimes to the rest of the league. So I wanted to balance that out there. Dan, it's a big one Sunday against the Bills, game of the week. You guys have anything special for us on the network?
You know, we're actually this window, this noon kickoff stuff is crazy. I said, is this the first noon game we've had last week? And it was. I was so caught off guard by that window and how our ability to broadcast is so different that I was glad to kind of get back to an afternoon window. So don't have anything yet, but hoping to have something.
Don't need much, because the game will take care of most of it. It's going to be fantastic. These games always are between these two teams. Can't wait for it. Dan, we'll have a lot to talk about, I'm sure, next week. We'll see if we can get some left tackle play. Maybe it won't be the lead in.
I don't care how we get to 10-0, as long as we get there, right?
That's right. All right, Dan. Thank you. Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, joining us as he does each Tuesday. Always appreciate his visits. Tommy, that 2022 class is just absolutely absurd. Like, Darian Kennard has been a non-factor, and essentially every other player taken in the draft, there were 9 others, have played significant snaps. Not all well, Sky Moore, but have played significant snaps and roles for this team. That does not happen.
That's what you have to have when you are paying the big three what you're paying them, right? You've got to draft well. That's how you build your team.
Wild, wild stuff. All right, 869-1240. We're going to switch gears. We'll talk a little KU hoops. We'll get to some of your video comments as well. While we're talking Chiefs, we'll get to Rick's. As far as Donovan Smith goes, he thinks it would take probably 6 weeks to bring him in. Okay, you got 6 weeks till the playoffs. I'd say, Rick, I still think it, I mean, it's worth, if that was the case and you could bring him in and you knew he was a better option, I'd say do it. Bring him in. Wait 6 weeks. Because it's all about the playoffs anyway. I know the unbeaten stuff is fun. This is all about the postseason. It's all about winning a third Super Bowl. Ken's got thoughts on KU tonight. We'll get to those next. You can call us now. IHOP Hotline is back open at 869-1240. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming right back. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrockton, Tommy Caster, and we are going to give you a chance to win some HTO right now. Let's go with a free iced tea, sweet or unsweet, seasonal peach cobbler available for you right now, and then we'll give you also a free coffee, iced or hot, including the new peppermint mocha just launched, and it is flying off the shelves. We are selling a ton of that. My wife tells me at HTO. So you can win one of each of these. All you got to do right now is text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody, with that. But get your hands on that. We've also got those Cody Jinx tickets, that giveaway going right now as well. Tommy, you just sent me something. Let's say hello to our friends in Sweden. Goat Lindstrom tells us that he has figured out a way to get Sports Daily in Sweden, emailed us.
On the radio. I mean, you could always stream us worldwide.
Right. No, over. Yeah, with an antenna.
He's but he was like listening to the radio. How cool is that?
Yeah. AM radio, baby. So cool. Thanks, Goat. I hope I'm saying that correctly. My Swedish is not good. But, you know, we appreciate you listening to the show. All right. So we'll start with a video comment here. And the IHOP hotline is back open at 869-1240. But let's start with a video comment here from Ken, who says he's looking forward to KU Michigan State hoops tonight. Spartans like to run. So should be another shootout. Maybe one of the teams has a dude that can play offensive tackle for the Chiefs, I'm guessing. Not a bad idea there, Ken. Tommy, I'm kind of liking some bets here on this game. I think we got an opportunity to make some money tonight. I hope. But this should be a fun one. Michigan State, you know, we're taking a stab in the dark. They're 2-0. They've played Monmouth and Niagara so far, but they've scored 81 and 96 points in those games. The over-under right now is 150. I mean, opportunity here.
I think KU, the over KU's is
also
sure
only play. A KU's only a 5.5-point favorite. I also like that. I like KU. I like the over. There's some player props I like. Maybe Zeke Mayo threes. Like there are some things in this game. I feel like we can put something together and make people a little bit of money here. But I like KU tonight. I like their chances. I think it's a good matchup. Michigan State can always play defense, and Michigan State always has talent. And, you know, they're blue blood. And KU will be tested again here in this game tonight on a neutral court.
You know who I actually really like in this matchup is AJ Storer. He had a really good step forward, I thought, in the North Carolina game on Friday. Showed why, you know, he was such a valued transfer and somebody that a lot of programs wanted out of the portal last year. And on top of that, he played at Wisconsin. He's familiar with Michigan State. He's played in the Big Ten. You know, he's competed against the Spartans before. So I like AJ Storer in this matchup a lot. I think that he brings a lot of upside to the table. And you know, like I mentioned, to really was able to take that step forward on Friday night offensively. And so he would be a guy that I would look at for sure as somebody that can more than likely deliver in this matchup.
Yeah, it's, you know, as far as like non-betting angles, the big thing for me is Hunter Dickinson's endurance, quite frankly. Like, can he keep up for a full game? Because they kind of need him to. They're going to need him to. And, you know, it's been a Friday to Tuesday turn. That's pretty normal, right? In a season that many days. So how quickly does he bounce back? Can he, you know, keep up his pace the entire game? And if he can't, are we going to see a Flory Badunga opportunity here to get in against another team like this and maybe do something? Because behind Hunter Dickinson becomes a storyline. Like, what happens behind Hunter Dickinson is going to be a storyline this year.
And I do think that having somebody like Badunga, we talked about it briefly yesterday, that is young and raw and still growing and learning and developing, I think it helps when you're playing competition like North Carolina and Michigan State to start off the season. I mean, it's you're definitely throwing this guy into the fire to get him acclimated. Is he going to attract the ire of Bill Self at times? Absolutely. He looks like that kind of dude where every once in a while, like when that athleticism is at its peak and when everything is clicking for Flory, you 1000% see that upside. When it's not clicking, he looks like a gazelle on the Serengeti out there a little bit, right? Like that's just kind of what the way that it works with young, tall, lanky freshmen that play for Bill Self. He's going to attract the ire of Bill Self from time to time. It's just going to be a matter of how he works his way through that. And I think that knowing that, you know, really with Dickinson, who looked fatigued at the end of the game, they're going to need Flory DeJuan Harris also looked tired at the end of the game, too. There was only one starter for Kansas in the Friday night game against North Carolina that eclipsed more than 30 minutes, and that was KJ Adams, who played 37. And so I think the added depth is crucial for Kansas, especially with the pace in which they want to play. And knowing that you've got a couple of veterans on this team that are not fully used to playing that fast and that style under Bill Self, you're going to have that depth.
And they do. And we saw it. It was down to what was the rotation there in the game? Eight guys. Like we're going to see that. Something that we didn't really bring up in the North Carolina game is the, you know, the foul trouble for DeJuan Harris in the second half, which is another thing that to watch. Now that's not going to happen maybe ever again this season, probably, right? DeJuan Harris getting in foul trouble. But it is something to watch. Basically what happens between those two quagmires, those cogs, and look, KJ Adams had a great first half against North Carolina. He was, they had no answers for him. So none of these are like, I wouldn't call them like areas of concern. No. I think they'll all ultimately be areas of strength, quite frankly, for KU. But I do think early on against this level of competition, I think there will be things to take away. Hunter Dickinson is, his stamina is, I think, a legitimate question throughout the year. Trying to think of a nice way to put it.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
He looked to me like his stamina might be a concern. Like he just seems like maybe he gets in better shape and can work that out over the course of a season. He probably can. But I do think they need some of these bigs to acclimate, and KU needs to find like a rotation or a style or something that if Dickinson does get gassed, and look, they're going to, he starts every offensive play, right? Like I get it why he gets it would be nice to see the tinkering now of like, what do things look like with him on the court? How many different ways can KU attack a lineup without him on the court? Who's at five? Can you play two fours? Like all the different things they might be able to do.
I'm not concerned throughout the season about his stamina. I think the conditioning will improve. I mean, they're two games into the season. Dickinson,
and he's been hurt.
He's been hurt. But also, you know, a season ago when Dickinson joined the Jayhawks, they didn't get up and down the court like they do right now. That wasn't the style in which they played. They didn't have the personnel to do that. What's interesting is that I feel like that's usually been Bill Self's preferred method and style of basketball, and he hasn't had the dudes recently to be able to do that. He's got it this year, and so it's a different sort of pace from what Dickinson had a season ago in his first year in a KU uniform versus what he currently has this year. I think the conditioning will work itself out. The other question that I have about the game tonight specifically, and I know what you're going to say. I'm going to ask this to you. I know what you're going to say. You're going to tell me that it doesn't ultimately matter, you know, whatever. But I'm curious about this. Will we see Zeke Mayo in the starting lineup tonight? I mean, he led all scorers for KU on Friday night. I think he's earned his way into the starting rotation. I don't know if we're at the point now where Bill Self will put him in there or not, but I certainly think he deserves that.
I'll tell you why it doesn't matter, and you're right, because he's played the second most minutes on the team.
I know it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, like, from a personnel perspective, I think it'd be nice to have him in the starting rotation.
So you're going to run him out at two, I'm guessing. So you run Harris, Mayo, Adams, Dickinson, and whoever.
Griffin probably.
So three guards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fine. But like when I look at the end of the day, he's played 26 minutes a game, which is more than everybody but KJ Adams. So it doesn't matter part. What matters is he playing starter minutes?
You're right. But it's a fun conversation to have.
It is. It's the, the only reason it kind of makes me tick is because of how angry Greg Marshall used to get when he was asked that question about his starting lineups. Because, and you know, like it doesn't matter. But on the flip side of it, I will say this. Ricky Council for the Shockers under Isaac Brown was negatively impacted by the stubbornness of not putting him in the starting lineup, even though he would play the minutes, like it bothered him. And so, yeah, I think it could matter. Does it matter for a guy like Zeke Mayo? I would guess not him particularly. But yeah, to the point, I want to know what the main rotation is, right? So is the main rotation with him at two? Yeah, I do want to see that. And if that means he needs to start to get there, that's fine. But I think he deserves to be one of the guys who plays the most minutes on this team. Absolutely. For sure. Who runs out there at tip-off? I'm not sure yet. I think by the end of it, he will be. I think by the time we get to, you know, Big 12 play, yeah, he'll be out there as the two based on what we've seen so far. I mean, he's a good fit. He provides a lot of what they need. Big time. No question about it. And I think he can acclimate and become a good defender at this level, you know, and it's a step up in competition. But Bill Self does that with all his players. They all get better over time. So yeah, I think that's worth watching. I do like his props tonight. His points are at 17.5. I'm a little afraid of that. I'll probably go with like points and rebounds at 20. Over 20. I don't think you can put his threes in a... I really like his over 2.5 threes, but I think you got to take that by itself. But I think there's an opportunity to make money with him tonight. Look, Tommy, like, if you're Zeke Mayo, you're trying to make a statement right now, right? Like, it's statement time for Zeke Mayo, more than the other transfers, I think. Why? Because you're coming from South Dakota State. Like you still have the challenge of stepping in and saying, I belong at this level of basketball, athletically, physically, you know, whatever it is. And I think that's why early in this season, we're going to see a lot of Zeke Mayo, because he's more than anybody else got something to prove. I think anyway, at least psychologically. So yeah, I like Mayo tonight. I like the over, and I like KU to cover the points. Maybe Michigan State's better. I mean, they haven't played anybody, so it's hard to tell. But yeah, they're always pesky. Yeah,
the only other thing that I would look at, you know, it was a pretty taxing victory on Friday night for the Jayhawks at home, right? And then you turn around, you fly to Atlanta to play in the Champions Classic. They're less than 72 hours removed from that game against North Carolina. Then you hit the road, you go halfway across the country. That fatigue could continue a little bit. I mean, it's not quite like an NCAA tournament turnaround, but you're still super early in the season. So that's one other thing that I would just keep my eyes on is, you know, what does the stamina look like in this particular game just because of the quick turnaround?
That's why I'm off the Dickinson props tonight, because I think his stamina is a challenge right now. Anyway, this is something he can answer the stamina questions like right now if he can come in. And he responded in a huge way after the timeout in that game against North Carolina. But I'll stay away from his props for the reasons you just threw out there. Should be a fun one. 5:30 start, by the way. So be ready for that. 5:30. You gotta make time for it. All right, we're going to come back. Sports Daily rolling right along on a Tuesday. Good luck in our contest. We're wide open. Conspiracy theorists are proposing, and we had fun with this yesterday too. Prime, come to the Cowboys? Huh. We'll explore it next on Sports Daily.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hotline's brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with the new IHOP House Faves. All your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. Tommy, there are a lot of people shouting the same thing, that Prime should come to Dallas, coach the Cowboys. And I think everybody's shouting the same thing because it honestly makes a lot of sense in some degree. Dak Prescott's out for the year. Cowboys are an absolute train wreck. Cowboys may end up being in the mix for one of the top picks. I do think Shedeur Sanders is worthy of being selected up in that top five. Prime has already created, you know, a stir about how he doesn't want him to play for certain teams. We know Prime loves the Cowboys and loves Jerry Jones. It's funny on one hand, but it's possible, I would say, on the other. I would tell you this, and we joked about, you know, I told you that if Jerry Jones is there with Prime, that would never work. Two big personalities like that wouldn't work. However, maybe Jerry Jones steps aside. I told you maybe he and, you know, Vince McMahon start an old rich guy reality show. Stephen Jones finally gets promoted. They can get down to business. And in that scenario, yeah, I would say bring in Prime, bring in, you know,
Jerry
bring in Shedeur.
Let's see. Anywhere.
Oh, I know. That's why it's a joke. But no, if Jerry and Prime could not work together, I don't think. I don't even know that.
Wouldn't it be fun to watch? It would absolutely be fun to watch.
Like, it would.
This is on a collision course to happen. And for everything to pan out that way, it was one of the top stories on ESPN yesterday, where like the major talking heads were all talking about how Coach Prime should be the next coach of the Cowboys. And what's funny is that that's not the first time. I mean, I know going all the way back to even before he went to Colorado, there was speculation that eventually he could end up as the Cowboys head coach. But that was easily dismissed because of where Coach Prime was in his coaching career. Right now, with what he's done with Colorado, I mean, I've always been a Deion skeptic, at least at Colorado. I thought it was all hype and all flash and no substance. There's substance there. Really, I'm eating a little bit of crow here because what he's done with Colorado has been super impressive. So this is on a collision course right now with what has happened with Dak, what's happened with Mike McCarthy, now what's happening with Colorado and Coach Prime and Shedeur and the ascension to being one of the best quarterbacks in college football. This is on a collision course to happen regardless of the big personalities between Jerry Jones and Coach Prime. I think it probably will happen, to be quite honest with you.
I think there's a decent chance. I think if they had a shot at Shedeur, the chances would intensify. For me, it really would come down to, let's say Aaron Rodgers retires and you're the Jets, or really any team that might need a quarterback. Would you be willing to trade a first-round pick for Dak Prescott and his contract at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I think I would. Because, you know, will Dak win you a Super Bowl? I mean, probably not at this point in his career, but can he be an upgrade from other options that you're for a lot of teams? Yeah, I think he absolutely could be.
Yeah, I think that's what it would come down to.
And you never know. Maybe a change of scenery for Dak could allow him to win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. It's totally on the table. The Cowboys, before this year, have had one of the best offenses in football and won, you know, 11, 12 games a year for a while. Totally, yes, I would agree. If I'm the Jets and everything's falling apart and I make my coaching change, yeah, if Rodgers is done, I still like my roster to some degree. So, yeah, I'd be willing to do that if I were the Jets or some team desperate enough to feel like you're just that close. We're joking about it, but I mean, as a Cowboys fan, if you told me Prime was going to be the next coach, I wouldn't be disappointed. Dude wins everywhere, right? He wins everywhere. He won at one level. He went up to Colorado. Nobody gave him a chance. He wins. He does it. We'll call it this way. He does a better job in year one than people thought he would, bringing around the worst program probably in Division One. Then in year two, and I'm a Prime guy. You guys know that. Even I was like, this isn't going to work. There's too much noise. They're probably going to the Big 12 championship game. And even if they don't, this year will have been successful. And so, look, I'd be fine with it.
I think Prime, that, you know, who would be salivating would be the Dallas media. I mean, it's already a circus all the time anyway. But when you get Deion and you get Jerry in the mix, like this would – there could be some success there. There could be a lot of success initially.
Those two have a great relationship.
Initially, there could be a lot, but it would end in a spectacular fashion at some point. It would be, you think that the Jerry Jimmy Johnson ending was bad? Like, this would be of nuclear proportions.
But if it gets him Shedeur Sanders, I'd probably be willing to take that risk because I do think he's good. And I'd be willing to risk that for a couple years, see how it works. Maybe Shadur's there. You know, at the end of the day, money talks. If he's good enough to earn a contract, I don't think he's going to care if his dad's coaching him. It's interesting. It's funny because it seems like a joke, but I think we can all kind of see like, oh yeah, that could definitely happen. That could totally happen. Jerry's not known to do headline splash high other than Bill Parcells. He's not a splashy. I guess Switzer at the time probably was splashy, so maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe he is. He just hadn't been willing to in a while, we'll say. From Dave Campo to Jason Garrett to Mike McCarthy. It's frustrating.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.